Today we have come to a lesson that is another in a series of lessons on cases of conversion. The examples that we have, the divinely inspired examples of how people became Christians in the first century when the gospel began to be preached by the apostles and confirmed by miracles. The apostles guided by the Holy Spirit in teaching those things. And so we can be assured that when we look at these lessons, that people had the right instructions that were given to them to become saved. And when they followed those, then indeed they were forgiven of their sins. And how we need to be concerned about our situation, whether we have become a Christian or not, in the way that the Scriptures teach, because so many today have been taught ways of becoming a Christian that are not confirmed in the Word of God. We looked at Acts chapter 2 last week. Acts chapter 2, the first preaching and of the gospel, and the first who heard and obeyed the gospel. And now we turn to Acts 8 some years later, and we look at Simon, a Christian whose heart was not right before God. And that may be a shocking title to us, but it goes along with the record that we read in Acts chapter 8. Regarding this man, Simon, who became a Christian, but then he wound up in a condition where his heart was in conflict. His thoughts, words, and deeds were in conflict with the will of God. In Simon the magician, we see a wonderful account of one who had deceived people for many years. He became a child of God and he receives forgiveness of sins. And that is something to rejoice in when we receive forgiveness of sins, and Simon definitely received that. In Simon, we also see how important it is as Christians to continue learning and following the Lord's Word, even after we are baptized into Christ. And that is important because we want to mature and grow stronger as Christians and be able to fight against those things that are evil and against God. In Simon, we see one who fell away from the Lord after once being in good standing with him. And this is something we need to take note of, because for those who claim a Christian cannot behave in such a way as to be lost after being saved, we must take note of Simon, who disproves this error. Because Simon indeed had become a Christian, but Simon acts in such a way that he sins against God, and then he is told that his heart is not right before God. But then finally in Simon, we see one who was willing to submit to God again, that he might be forgiven and go forward. In other words, Simon was one who, after falling from the grace of God, he was restored back to the grace of God by obedient faith, and we will look at those conditions of pardon that all Christians must be willing to submit to if we are going to continue in faith, because we can be lost after once being saved. And that is something that people have been lied to, deceived by so many who have taught them that once you have been saved, you always are saved. That is not what we see with Simon. That is not what we see throughout the New Testament teaching. We see warnings that as Christians we can act in such a way so that we can be lost after once being saved. The character of Simon is where we begin. Simon was a Samaritan. And who were the Samaritans? Samaritans were partially Jewish, mixed with other peoples that had been brought into Israel from Assyrian territories. That is going back to the 8th century BC, some 700 years or more before the record we read in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8. Generally speaking, Samaritans were despised by many Jews. In other words, they had come when the Assyrian Empire had destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel, whose capital was in Samaria, and they had repopulated the area with those peoples from their territories that had come, and whatever the remnant of people that were left of Israel after they had invaded and conquered them, then they eventually became mixed in some way with those peoples as well. 2 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 22. The sons of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them, until the Lord removed Israel from his sight, as he spoke through all his servants, the prophets. So Israel was carried away into exile from their own land to Assyria until this day. The king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and Sepharvaim, and settled them in the cities of Samaria in place of the sons of Israel. So they possessed Samaria and lived in its cities. And so these are the people of Samaria, and by the time many Jews returned from Babylonian captivity, some 200 years later, then they resented and despised those so-called foreigners who had been brought into the land. And even in the days of Jesus, we see this attitude. And many times traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem, with Samaria in between going north, they would often cross over the Jordan and go around Samaria in order not to go through it, whichever way they were traveling, back and forth, because there was such hostility in this relationship. John 4 and verse 9, therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, to Jesus, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So that was the common situation. No social relations except the bare minimum were to be involved between Jews and Samaritans, generally speaking. And yet the gospel was brought to Samaria by Philip the Evangelist, one of the seven chosen by the apostles to serve the needs of the widows that needed help in Jerusalem, the Christian widows. Simon was a talented and famous magician in Samaria. He had a great following among the people who were amazed by his deceptive magic arts. They attributed his power to God, And like many people attribute power to God from those deceivers today that we see, he was lost in the pride of life, seeking to make himself great by deception. And that is who Simon was. And that is confirmed by what we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 9. Now there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. So that is who Simon was, and yet the gospel message appealed to Simon, confirmed by miracles that Philip was performing, and appealed to Simon in such a way that he yielded to the gospel message and became a child of God, which shows that the power of the gospel, when we open a good and honest heart to what God has said, even those that we would think could never be reached can be reached by the gospel. Because of persecution, there were Christians who had been scattered from Jerusalem because of Saul of Tarsus leading that persecution, later becoming the Apostle Paul. As they were scattered, though, out of Jerusalem, they kept right on preaching the word of God, the gospel, including Philip, who went to Samaria. So they did not feel sorry for themselves. They did not become embittered. They did not become distracted by the world and enticed to abandon their faith. They, even though they were scattered and suffered hardship, they continued preaching the gospel, even to the Samaritans. The message includes preaching who Christ is, what he has done to save us, his authority over all, and need for baptism for forgiveness of sins after believing in Jesus and repenting of sins. And there's no infant baptism, there's no sinner's prayer, none of this but what we have just stated, and we will see that in the record. Acts 8 and verse 3, "But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging off men and women who would put, dragging off men and women, he would put them in prison. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike." And so we have the simple message preached, and we have people responding, but we will get to that. We will mention more, because not only the people responded, but even Simon responded and obeyed the gospel. After hearing the gospel and believing in Jesus as the Lord, Simon responded along with many others by repenting and being baptized. Even Simon's heart was touched by the gospel, and he submitted and he became a Christian. So apparently Simon the great deceiver, when he saw the miracles that Philip performed, he recognized the authenticity of these miracles compared to what he had been doing himself, that he had been deceiving the people. But these were the genuine miracles, people actually healed instantaneously by the power of the Holy Spirit exerted by Philip, who was preaching the gospel message. And what did Simon do? along with others again? How did they respond to the message of Jesus being raised from the dead after he died for our sins, living a perfect life, being raised from the dead after sacrificing himself for our sins, being raised to the rule at the right hand of God, ascending back to heaven, ruling over heaven and earth now, the kingdom being established, and Jesus being King of kings and Lord of lords? Acts 8 and verse 12, but when they believed, Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip, and as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. And so that was their response. They were baptized, believing in Jesus as the Son of God, repenting of their sins as they submitted to baptism so that they could be brought into relationship with Christ at that point when they were baptized. Acts 2:38, what we studied last week when the gospel was preached for the first time. Peter said to them, after they said, "What shall we do? Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so, that's what they did. And then later in Acts chapter 8, when we'll get to it next week, God willing, another case of conversion, the Ethiopian eunuch, before he was baptized, he confessed his faith in Jesus, the Son of God, that he is God, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that he is King of kings and Lord over heaven and earth, given all authority by the Father, from the Father. And so now, we see that this is what takes place in Samaria. And the passage we don't have down, but there was great joy in that city. People were being healed by miracles. People were being saved from their sins, forgiven of their sins. And it was being confirmed by miracles how they should be saved. And when their faith led them to repent of their sins and submit to baptism, immersion in water, for the forgiveness of their sins in the name of Jesus, by his authority, they were forgiven at that point. And so we see that there were no sinners' prayers, and there were no infants being baptized, but there were adults who could make their decisions, repenting of their sins and confessing Jesus as the Son of God. No infant can do that. And therefore they were baptized, immersed in water, baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. The Holy Spirit's role with Philip and the apostles was to confirm the Word of God. The miracles were designed to confirm the Word of God so that people knew that what Philip had been speaking was the Word of God, not just something Philip had developed out of his own imagination. Only the apostles were able to impart the ability to do miracles to others through the laying on of their hands. Philip was not able to transfer that power to anybody else, but he had been given that power by the apostles so that he could perform miracles that confirmed his message. Philip had received this power to do the miracles, but he could not transfer it. Hebrews 2 and verse 3, will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And so it was designed to confirm the Word of God, that this Word is from God, not from men. That's what we see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 6. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip. As they heard and saw the signs which he was performing, for in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. And so this is what was happening regarding Philip, performing miracles, healing people instantaneously. But then he was not able to impart or transfer this power to others. Acts 8 and verse 14, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they were sent. They sent them, Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. So there we find the truth of the matter, that only the apostles could transfer this power. And this is what appealed to Simon the magician. He fell into the idea that he desired the ability to transfer this power to others, and he would use it for his own financial gain. And that's what he did. Simon falls away from the Lord, coveting the apostles' power of the Holy Spirit. Although Simon continued with Philip, he soon came into conflict with the gospel. So becoming a Christian does not guarantee or prevent us from believing, desiring, feeling, and acting in ways that are sinful. Simon turned his heart away from God because he coveted the ability to impart the power to perform miracles. That's what he wanted to do for his own purposes. He offers the apostles money to receive this ability. And then Peter makes it clear that because of his thinking, his feelings and actions, his intention, his heart was not right before God. And those who say that a Christian can never be lost after being saved need to look again, because if Simon could be saved and his heart not be right before God, then that does not make any sense. That is contradictory in the Word of God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 18, now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give this authority to me as well, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Your heart is not right before God. In other words, you've fallen away from God's grace. You stand condemned before God, even though you have been once forgiven of your past sins because you were baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Now you've become in conflict with God. You're sinning in your thinking and your actions. That is startling. We can be lost after being saved when we commit sin and do not turn back to God and repent of our sins, change our mind about our sins because of being grieve that we have sinned against God, and turn to God, confessing those sins and praying for forgiveness. When we do not do that, our heart is not right before God. Some insist that Simon was never a true Christian, but just a pretender. But Peter does not agree with this. We don't see any indication from the text that that is the case, that Simon had genuinely become a Christian. Yet because of his wrong thinking, he had fallen into sin. And Peter instructs Simon what all Christians must do to be restored back to the Lord after we sin. We must, as often as needed, repent of our sins, change our mind, pray to God for mercy, along with admitting our sins. That is what we are to do in order to be saved. And if we don't do that as Christians, then we will be lost. And so it is so important that we be in the habit of repenting of our sins and confessing them to God as often as needed, so that we don't fall back into the world and be lost. Simon also asked the apostles, Peter to pray and John to pray for him. Let's read it in Acts chapter 8, verses 22 through 24. Therefore, Peter said, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord, that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. That tells me that a Christian can be bound again to sin, in sin, and can be lost after being saved. Verse 24, but Simon answered and said, pray the Lord. Pray to the Lord for me yourselves, so that nothing of what you have said may come upon me. And so he asked them to pray to the Lord for him so that he might be saved, that he might be restored back to the Lord after once being saved, that he might be restored back after turning back to sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 through 9, we read a similar statement for Christians to follow as often as needed, so that we might continue to grow in his grace and his knowledge. But if we walk in the light, as he himself, as God, is in the light, we have fellowship, partnership with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, confessing our sins and repenting of them and praying to God to cleanse us through the blood of Jesus, that is what Christians must continually do so that we might continue to remain in partnership with God and with one another. And we can call upon each other to pray for each other so that we might be forgiven by God. James chapter 5 and verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. This is what we are to do in order to be restored back to God. Because when we fall into sin as Christians, if we do not do that, then our heart is not going to be right before God. But thankfully, we can be restored if we are willing. And we would encourage all who have become Christians to, as often as needed, confess those sins before God repent and pray and have others pray for us at times, that we may be forgiven of those sins that are against God, and continue on, that we may grow in His grace and His knowledge. But maybe you're listening to this and you have not become a Christian in the way that Simon did and others in the first century. Maybe you were baptized as an infant and somebody said you have become a Christian, you had water sprinkled on you as an infant. Maybe you have said the sinner's prayer and asked Jesus to come into your heart and prayed for His mercy. But that is not how we become a Christian. When we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that He is Lord of heaven and earth, after dying for our sins, after living a perfect life, was raised from the dead and ascended back to heaven, seated at the right hand of God, ruling as King and High Priest, when we believe that He is the Son of God, Lord of all, that He is God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, then we are called upon to repent of our sins, change our mind about our sins, and turn to God, confess our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of our sins in the name of Jesus, by His authority, by the authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is when we become Christians, when we are baptized into Christ, a penitent believer, confessing our faith in Him, baptized into Christ. This is when we become Christians. We would encourage all to do that before it is ever too late, and follow what we can read in Acts chapters 2 and 8, and what we will continue to study, God willing, in this series. Those who are already Christians, again, let us, as often as needed, repent and pray, confessing our sins, that the Lord's mercy might continue to cleanse us through the blood of Jesus. We would encourage all to respond to the gospel before it is ever too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.